Well, it's nice to see everybody here on a Wednesday night. I feel like I've never been here in a long time.
Maybe because it goes on this side, Pastor. All right.
Ain't been here in so long, the mic is acting up. But I tell you what, I can do without it. It's okay. But it's good to see everybody here tonight. Man, I tell you, this Torah portion is really incredible. It has some really good values in here. I hope I can point it out tonight to show you how important it is to stay focused on the Torah and for us to learn as a body, as a whole, tonight. And why it's so important to be here. You say, well, because I've heard the saying. I've heard it. Well, brother, that's no scripture says that you got to be here on Wednesday night. Correction. It might be in the Torah, but I'm going to show you in the Brit Hadashah. And then I'm going to give you a second witness. And then you can take it from there. But anyway, we're going to get started. Without Torah portion 45, Va'echanan. And it's Hebrew, and I pleaded, or I sought favor. I mean, you know, Moshe was pleading because he wanted to see the good land. And how many of us, in that day, the scripture says, in that day, they're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I wonder how many people are going to be pleading to see the good land.
Amen.
So this Torah portion was very important. I really had some time to really look at it and really go over it, because it's not only... The promise was not only made to us, it was made to your children, to your seed. He told Abraham, look up to the stars. It ain't going to be just for you, it's for your descendants, for your seed. And we will see in the scripture, it applies for us today, that promise. So, we know that Yeshua, pleading one night in the garden for his life. Nobody really wants to give up their life. But he said, not my will, Father, let your will be done. And we can find that story. And that's in Luke 22:39. We know that Yeshua was pleading. And he comes over to his disciples. And what are they doing? Sleeping. He only got hours left and they sleeping. So what's the church doing? We got hours. What are we doing sometimes? We're sleeping. This is why we got to start off with this slide. Slide 38 or wherever you're at in the, or 45. I didn't get the updated ones. The first Hebrew word that's translated here as weak, as in weak hands, Raphae, strong 7504, which means slack, exhausted, weak. And pictures for us are people who had grown tired of doing what is right and commanded to do, as a result had become lazy in their required obedience. Wow. That's not us. We don't get slack. We don't get comfortable and complacent. Sometimes we need to check ourselves. The second Hebrew word that's translated as weak, as in weak knees, is kasal, Strong's 3782, which means stumble, totter, stagger, bring down, failing, weaken. I mean, when you know when you got weak hands, when you're unsure about your grip, and you got weak knees, and you're unsure about your walk, you're not stable. You're not stable when you walk with Yehovah. You're not stable when you walk with Yeshua. And you're sure you're not stable in here. So the scripture is going to tell us to strengthen the weak hands and your weak knees. We're going to see that in the scripture. It commands us. Yisrael was stumbling in the required work of being faithful in obedience to the Torah of Elohim. Why? Because of many false threats and messages that were coming from the enemy, which resulted in words of falsehood and twisted and manipulated the truth through vain tradition in order to cause people to fail in their obedient worship unto Elohim. Now, we started this journey, I know, back in Bereshit, but you really started feeling the squeeze of that snake around slide 37. Y'all remember what that Torah portion was? Veha aloka. You remember that? When you send for yourselves, we sent out 12 spies. And what happened? Only two come back with a good report. 10 gave a negative report. And since then, y'all notice, the grip has been on us. Anytime you see the attack on our leaders, it's no surprise that we ended this Torah portion, this is happening to our church. But if you don't strengthen your hands, and if you don't strengthen the knees, you're going to affect the person that you're with. And then not only the spies, from 37 to 44, even to where we're at now, we were right at the brink, about the cross. But what happened? We had to deal with Balaam. And we had to deal with Balak. And we know what happened with all that. We had to hang our leaders before Yehovah, because he brought a curse. And we can't get out of that. There's only one way to get out. Put this back. There's only one way to get out of that. It's through the blood of Yeshua that paid the price. Look, this wasn't easy. Moshe had to do that. You can imagine his leaders, his guys that he trusted into. And these things happened. Hey, and look, and they suffered because of all that. And not only dealing with that, 38 years, 11 days journey turned to 38 years wandering around when they could have been in such a short time. Where are we at today? Man, this Torah portion has been very good because it takes you back to where Mount Sinai. We're going to get to that. Today we recognize how the false lies and traditions of men that are being taught as teachings by false ear tickles who have deliberately turned away from the Torah, deliberately turned away. The scripture says, better you didn't know than to know of the way of righteousness and to turn you back. You know what happens? Sometimes you might not make it back. There's no guarantee. Thank Yah for his mercy. Amen. That's why we're able to make it back. People praying for you. People standing in the gap because they had to strengthen their hands. We had to strengthen our knees. It's no time to be slack. We get slack. We get complacent. Hey, what happened to the one when they got slack? The one that was behind? Amalek got them. We can't let Amalek. We can't let that. Who have deliberately turned away from the Torah and causing many to stumble and become weakened in the required faith to do all that is commanded and to walk in righteousness. Man, how we need this. Many will say today, according to that which they are taught in error, that it is impossible to keep the Torah, which is an absolute lie from the enemy. Many will say that the requirements of walking in the Torah have been done away with, which is another twisted lie that through manipulative brainwashing has presented a falsified picture of an assumed righteousness that is according to the tradition and dogmas of man while clearly neglecting the correct spiritual understanding of what true righteousness entails. People, I texted someone yesterday. We can all have our ideas. We can all have our spin. You know, what we think, what the word says. But until you open it up and read the life of Yeshua, you have no idea. Because the Torah, it points to him. And he even said that. He even said, if you don't believe Moshe's writing, how are you going to believe me? Because he wrote about me. So if you don't believe what Moshe wrote, how are you going to believe my words? In the process, many have literally become weakened in their hands and knees. And the sad part about this is that they do not even realize it. And it's an attack on the body. It's an attack on our leaders. That's the quickest way to drag them down is to attack the leaders first. And it happens. It's not only just here. It's around the world. It's not just our church. But I'm going to have some encouraging words. Just hang on for a minute. I just got to get to it. This is just a warm-up process. Yeshayahu was clearly told to strengthen hands and knees and say to those who were anxious to be strong. You remember that word? Hazak. Be strong. Be encouraged. And fear not, for the vengeance of Elohim was coming, and he was coming to save. Boy, don't you know he's coming? He's coming to save. There's going to be some changes made here when he returns, I promise you. But he's coming to save. This is both encouragement and a warning. An encouragement to the faithful remnant, as well as a clear warning to the rebellious who stumble in their obedience, with the hope that they will hear and turn from their crookedness and strengthen their hands and knees and guard to do all the Master and Elohim has commanded, for this is righteousness. In Deuteronomy 6:25. I didn't put it in my notes. I mean, it's in there. Weak hands and weak knees are a picture of those who do not have a handle on the truth and unable to grasp with confidence the truth of guarding to do all that Elohim has commanded, and as a result are unable to stand in the complete armor of Elohim unable to lift hands that are set apart. Look, when we come here on Shabbat morning and the worship music on, a lot of times this should be automatic. I don't know if we wait for our favorite song or what, but hey, who are we giving thanks to? Not to the guy sitting alongside of us. We ought to be happy that you made it to Shabbat. Give thanks to him. It's been a long week. I don't know about y'all, I have long weeks. Just like some people get rained out and you get a short day. I ain't mentioned no names, but I'm there for all day when I'm at work. So, we ought to be happy. And it's an honor to come up here and speak the word and come up here on Shabbat night and hear the word that what he has for you next week, because you're going to be on a journey next week. Because what are we about to do? We're about to cross over. But first, we've got to get our final farewell from Moshe to strengthen Yehoshua, because he's about to lead the next generation. So you're going to need, next week, you're going to need stuff to carry you on to the next Wednesday, and the next Friday, and the next Saturday. This stuff is continuing, and we don't stop. With the weak knees, one is not stable in their walk of faith, as their legs will buckle under the pressures and trials that they may face, as the deceitfulness of wealth and worries of this life choke out the word, causing them to lose their stability and confidence in being bold ambassadors of the truth. Wow. What are we supposed to be? Bold ambassadors. What Yeshua said, go out into the world and preach the gospel to the who? To the lost, to those who have never heard, to everybody, for whosoever will. But if you have no boldness, if you have no stability in your legs when the pressure's on and you got weak hands and you're walking around like this, you ain't leading nobody. You ain't making a very good lead on the front line, I can tell you that. Especially if you come into war and you're in battle. The guy that's on the front that's walking around like this and can't make up his mind, you're taking a step back from behind him. This call to strengthen the hands and knees is also given in Ibarim, Hebrews 12:12. So strengthen the hands which hang down and the weak knees. This is a call to renew spiritual vitality. I looked it up. I tried to hit the sound where you say it, but it didn't want to play. If you want to run with endurance, then you need to strengthen the weak. Sometimes we need help. Our brothers and sisters, we need help. You know, it's not, look, if you see a man carrying a load, hey, brother, you need a hand? Don't be so puffed up and think, I got it. Accept help. Especially if you're getting up in age. It's okay. We all need help. I know I do. Now we know Yahweh knows you need help. That's why he gave you a helpmate. Ain't that right, B? All right. The Greek word that translated here, boy, these Greek words, that is translated here as strengthen, anotheo, G461, which means to make straight, upright again, lift up, restore, or strengthen. How many of you know we need that strength from Yehovah? That's provided by Yeshua, through it, given to us by the set-apart Spirit, if we're obedient, how they all work in order. But we need this to make straight. Why? Because when you're on course, don't you know it's the shortest way? It's the straight way? You know, don't be like one of my family members who have a GPS, never drew a crew boat in his life before. Put the GPS on, he follows straight the line. You know what happens when you follow the line of GPS? That line will take you across places that you don't want to go. So you got to be careful. But you know, to get to your destination, what the scripture says, straight is the way, and narrow, and few that be they find it. Not broad, because many are on the broad. There was a slide last week. It talked about it stuck with me, and I forgot to put in my note, but it talked about the sheepfold. When the sheep come in the fold, it's trumpet-like shape. Go back in your slide, you'll see what I'm talking about. Why? Because it was narrow. When it opens up wide for those who come in. But the way in was narrow. I thought that was a very important slide. It is time to make straight that which has been twisted and has caused many to become weakened. Yeshua has been doing that since day one. And you know that's something that when things are twisted, has been twisted for so long, sometimes you need help to untwist it. He needs you and I. He depends on you and I to help untwist it. He can do it. We know he has the power. He can do it all by himself. But he wants you to help untwist. He needs us to step up as men and women. And what do? There's no time for that now. We should be past that. This is written in the plural imperative, which simply means that this requires a joint effort. We need to strengthen one another. Having said that, however, we also realize that each one is responsible for working out his own deliverance. You have responsibility. We all do certainly have a very clear responsibility toward one another. Yet, each one must give an account of their own walk before the Father and cannot blame another for any unrighteous ways that they have walked in or from any crookedness that had caused them to stumble. What we can learn from this is that for us to be strong and courageous in Messiah, we need to grow firm in the Torah and have the commands of Elohim fastened upon our hearts as we take hold of the truth and walk in it with boldness, being fully alert and steadfast in walking in the truth. Wow. This is very demanding. It's never easy. When we look into the Torah, he said, take my yoke. I know he said, take my yoke. But look, you're going to have some challenging days. And he knows that. He said, I'm not going to put more on you that you can't even bear. But sometime along the way, you need help. You need a brother. You need a sister. You need a friend. You need someone to confide in. Not always don't have to be the pastor. The pastor. Because sometimes he needs help. Oh, I'm getting close. And it is through the commands of the Torah, Moshe, that we are commissioned, appointed, and strengthened in Messiah. Yehoshua needed to be made brave and be assured by Moshe. And what we must recognize is that bravery comes from an awareness of who one is, what is expected of you, and what is at stake. Whereas any uncertainty will breed fear. And so it is critical for us to know our identity in the living Torah, Yeshua Messiah. I thought that was it. Technology. See? I don't know. I'm on the turtle. You're on the turtle, right? Yeah.
It's not that. Just keep going.
All right. Okay. Yehoshua needed to be made brave and be assured by Moshe. And what we must recognize is that bravery comes from an awareness of who one is, what is expected of you, and what is at stake. Whereas any uncertainty will breed fear, and so it is critical for us to know our identity in the living Torah, Yeshua Messiah. How do you know when you're on the front line? You want the best of the best. You can't have squirrely on the front line. Can't make up your mind, wishy-washy. Them guys that are on the front line, they got something they value. There's your families behind you. So that's why, why do you think they're in battle formation? Because they're thinking to go conquer. They're thinking to take over, possess. They didn't even know who they were. They didn't know the promise that was given to them. We're going to take the land. Because it's all about the land here. That was promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Yaakov. Down to us, to where we're here today. The Torah alone cannot take you into the promised land. Now that sounds confusing. All right. It is the Torah with the Spirit, that which Yeshua came to reveal and show us through his life, death, and resurrection. What we can also learn from Moshe going up to Pisgah, and looking in all directions, that we too are able to learn and see through the Torah where we have come from, and understand and recognize that we are a treasured possession, held firm in the right hand of Elohim, who is coming for us again. And the way for us to keep our eyes in focus on the sure and blessed hope we have in Messiah is to stand in him in the cleft of the rock, so to speak, for this will keep us encouraged and strengthened to remain steadfast and awakened. Remember them four directions? Westward, northward, southward, and eastward. There was a reason for them. He wants you to see where you're coming from first to remind you. Because we all got a past. I promise you. We got skeletons in them closets. And they know we're good. They stay in them closets and never come out. They buried. And then we're moving northward. And then he wants you to focus your eyes on southward and eastward because I'm taking you to the promised land. And that's the hope. That's the hope. That's what he has for you. He wants to get you into the fold. But the way to get there is narrow. And the thing about it, it's not only for yourself. You have your helpmate. And some of us have children. Some of us got grandchildren. Some of us got brothers and sisters that are lost, family, husbands, wives out there. So when you come to the gate and you want to get into the fold, you should be pulling someone with you, grabbing as many as you can. The concept of helping each other is seen right through Ibrahim Hebrews 13, and in Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily. Not once a week, daily. We should be encouraging someone. You should be ministering to someone. I had an opportunity this morning. From the time I left my house till I got to the boat to share with my brother. My other brother on my mama's side. Because I got so many brothers. But it's a blessing to have them. But I was able to share with him because I know his mindset. It's not in the things of Yehovah. So when I get my shot, I'm working. While it's still called today. That's amazing why it's still called today. Because you know why? You might be or not, he might be, or she might be, or you might not be around tomorrow. That's a very possibility. So your encouragement was for today. If you miss today, get prepared for tomorrow. Least if any of you be hardened by the deceivableness of sin, he gives a warning on top of that. Don't harden your hearts. What he said? Don't be like what they did at Mirabah. Don't harden your hearts and grumble and complain. He warns us about that. In Hebrews 10:24-25, let us be concerned for one another in order to stir up love and good works. It's more than just the Torah. It's love and good works. We have to do some things. And you need the Spirit with you, not just the Torah. You need the Spirit also. That's what we just read. Not forsaking. That's one of the witnesses. I told you about Wednesday night. He said, well, that's nothing in the Torah. No, it's in the Brit Hadashah, though. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. Wow. That's a Wednesday night scripture. For those that don't want to show up, think, well, they don't have to. How is you going to learn? Where are you going to go? Are you going to say like Peter? Can we just say like Peter? Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. What are we doing here if we're not speaking that? Because if I'm saying what he's saying, then obviously the words of eternal life are flowing from my lips. Because I'm going to say what he said. So where are you going to go? Wouldn't you not want to come into the yeshiva and learn of him? But encouraging, as the habit of some, but encouraging, and so much more as you see the day coming near. Let me give you another one. I told you I had two witnesses. This is not in the notes, so you're going to have to go look it up. It's also in Hebrews. Verse 15. Though through him let us continue to offer up a slaughter, offering of praise to Elohim. To who? To him. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And do not forget to do good and to share, for with such slaughter offering, Elohim is well pleased. Why? Because let's look at the next verse. Obey those leading you. Leading you on when? On Shabbat, on Friday nights, on Saturdays morning, and on Wednesdays. Here's your scripture. That's your witnesses. Obey them. Why? Why we want to obey them? Let me finish. Obey those leading you and be subject to them, for they watch for your lives. You think pastors, like I mentioned before, you think pastors are here for the money? If that's the case, we owe Pastor Shaw a lot of, we in debt to Pastor Charlotte. For they watch for your lives. 40 years they've been here watching for our lives. And we worry about coming out 1 hour out of the day. Yeshua said, can you not wait up 1 hour? I'm pleading, but you can't wait 1 hour? Can you just pray with me 1 hour? Really? That's what happened. That's why we can't skip, brother. That's why we can't skip when we go through the slides. Let them do so with joy and not groaning, for that would be no advantage to you as your two witnesses. If you're looking for scripture for Wednesday night, you just got them right there. Moving on. Oh, my boy, I couldn't wait to get to this one right here. We need to be strengthened in the Torah and hold fast to the witness of Messiah so that we are able to be overcomers in Messiah, because the enemy is on the war path against the remnant. Oh boy. Hezan, Revelations 12, 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to fight with the remnant of her seed, those guarding the commands of Elohim and possessing the witness of Yeshua Messiah. All right. Now we got to read, because we got to know what we're talking about right here. We got to cover all this, because this is a lot of stuff we got to cover. Let's go to Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 4. I know this is further in the slide. We might get to it, and like we might not, but we got to read right here, because the enemy is at war against the remnant. Look around. But you, I'm on the wrong spot. And now, O Israel, listen to the laws and the right ruling which I am teaching you to do, so that you live and shall go in and possess the land which Jehovah Elohim of your fathers is giving you. Wow. Hallelujah. Listen. Shema. Listen. Shema. Thank you. Shema is the guard. Shema. My bad. Do not add to the word which I command you, and do not take away from it, so as to guard the commands of Yehovah your Elohim, which I am commanding you. Your eyes have seen what Yehovah did at Baal Peor, for Yehovah your Elohim has destroyed from your midst all the men who followed Baal Peor. But you who are clinging to Yehovah your Elohim, having that grip, not weak hands, are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you laws and right ruling as Jehovah my Elohim commanded me to do thus in the land which you go to possess, and you shall guard to do them, for it is your wisdom and your understanding. You think we need this stuff? Before the eyes of the people who are here, who hear all these laws, and they shall say, only a wise and understanding people is this great nation. I can hear him saying, is this great church? But we have to be a wise one, because we got to hear. These are not my words. For what great nation is there which Elohim so near to it as Jehovah Elohim is to us whenever we call on him? And what great nation is there that has such laws and righteous right ruling like all this Torah which I set before you this day? I know that back in time, this different time zone, but this word applies for us today. We need this. Only guard yourselves and guard your life diligently, lest you forget the words. You know why he said remember the Sabbath day? Lest you forget the words. Wow. Your eyes have seen, and lest you turn aside from your heart all the days of your life, and you shall make them known to your children and your grandchildren. I promise we'll be coming back to that. The day when you stood before Yehovah, your Elohim in Horeb, Yehovah said to me, assemble the people to me and make them hear my words, so that they learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and teach them to their children. That's twice he mentioned that. Because you know why he's saying the children? Because all the men of war are gone right now. So we're the next generation. We're the new generation. But still the same Torah. Not a new covenant. It might be tweaked a little bit and made it a little more understandable, because Yeshua said, and then Paul said, if we want to follow these guys, they said a lot. And you shall come near, and you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the heart of the heavens. darkness, cloud and thick darkness. And Yehovah spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard a voice of word, but you saw no form. You only heard a voice. And he made known to you his covenant, which he commanded you to do, the 10 words. And he wrote them on 2 tablets of stone. And Yehovah commanded me at that time to teach you laws and right ruling, for you are to do them in the land which you pass over to possess. So we see Moshe commissioning Yehoshua because he can't cross because of an incident that happened. But who is he telling? To our children. Y'all not getting it. Hold on. Let's go to chapter 7. Start at verse 5. But this is what you to do to them when you cross over. Break down their slaughter places and smash their pillars and cut down their Asherim and burn their carved images with fire. For you are set apart people. We are. To Yehovah your Elohim. Yehovah your Elohim has chosen you to be a people for himself. There's no time for playing. There's no time for slackness, weak hand and weak knees. He chose us. We didn't ask for this. We didn't ask for this. I'm so thankful now because we could have used this a long time ago. But it's here now. And look, we got to grab hold of this with all that. And you got to cling to it. Because why? I'm going to get to it. I'm glad you asked. For you are a set apart people to Yehovah your Elohim. Yehovah your Elohim has chosen you to be a people for himself, a treasured possession above all the peoples on the face of the earth. When I read that, I think about our parish, because he chose us. I don't know of anyone who's saying what we're saying, who's standing what we're standing for, who's walking. They all love Jesus. I promise you, they all love Jesus. But he said, you call me master, you call me teacher, but you don't do what I say. That's the problem. And I'm going to show you where he is displeased about that. Yehovah did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more numerous than any other people, for you were the least of the people. We are the least down here probably in some of our churches. But he chose us. And it is a load to carry, yes. Because I deal with family. I deal with friends, but he chose you for a reason, to give you all this. You know why? Because he's untwisting. He needs help. So what do? He calls you. He commissions you. He takes a census. Are you with me? Pastor, are you with me? That's what he wants to know. And everybody else that's here, are you with me? That's the reason for that. Why? Because the dragon is enraged. And he wants to fight with the remnant of your seed. So, let's get to the seed. We got to go back to chapter 4. Am I told you? Because what we got to do? Only guard yourself, verse 9. And guard your life dearly, at least you forget the words you have seen, that which your eyes have seen, at least you turn aside from your heart all the days of your life, and you shall make them known to your children and your grandchildren. The day when you stood before Yehovah, your Elohim in Horeb, Yehovah said to me, assemble the people to me, and I make them hear my words, so that they learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth. I'm still living here on the earth. And teach them to their children, my children, your children. Hold on, let me. If I'd had this last week, I had a demonstration, but we don't have no children. But we got to take this back. I was Brother Maynard, we had them little children. I had something in store, but I apologize for last week. I couldn't make it. So let's look at something here in Matthew. Chapter 18. and verse 1. At that time, the taught ones came to Yeshua saying, "Who then is greatest in the reigns of the heaven?" That's a good question. But you're walking with the source of life, and this is what you want to know. Well, let's see how he answers. And Yeshua called a little child to him and set him in their midst and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become as little children, you shall by no means enter into the reigns of the heaven." And become as little children. Why did he use that analogy? Because they are dependent on you. They depend on your mom. They depend on dads. They depend on us. Because if we fail them, if you fail, you know what happens to them? What are their chances? Thank y'all for Yehoshua and a Caleb to help lead our generation. But what are we going to do? Whoever then humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the reigns of the heaven. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea. That seems like strong words. But that's what he said. So when they ask, that's what I say. It's best that you strengthen their poor little weak knee, because they're children. They need help. They stumble. But if you cause them to stumble because of your negligence of being weak as a parent, it's better than a millstone be hung around your neck. That's what he said. Let's look at Mark. I love Mark, the way he put it out. Mark 10. Verse 13. And they were bringing little children to him to touch them. But the taught ones were rebuking those who were bringing them. Really? See? The taught ones. We know who the taught ones are here. That's you and me. And when Yeshua saw it, he was much displeased. I think he's displeased with us sometimes when we get slack, when we get weary. Because you got little children looking at you, depending upon us. I wrote them down. I had to go back and write their name down. Because we got a Juju. And we got a Kara. We got a Red. We got a little Terry. We got Julius. We got Miss Casey. We got Cam, Cass, Bryn, Jackson, Braxton, Carson. If I miss your children, I'm sorry. But look, all y'all got children. And if we fail, what are their chances? I thought about this so hard. I mean, it's just because we got to become like little children. That's what Yeshua said. Everybody, you're not going to be in the reign of the kingdom. He said it. We got to follow his words carefully. I asked someone, did you ever go back and look at Yeshua's word? No. I said, well, how do you say you're serving him when you don't even know what he said? That's a travesty. It's a shame. It's really what it is. And when Yeshua saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. And do not forbid them, for of such is the reign of Elohim." Wow. "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the reign of Elohim as a little child shall certainly not enter into it." We got to change our thinking. We got to change the way our character, the way we handle ourselves around. I know we like to kid and joke a lot, don't get me wrong. But sometimes we got to watch ourselves. And this is a learning process for me too. Trust me, I got to learn this. If I've been able to say it to you, I got to learn it. I told somebody yesterday, "Hey, brother, texting and driving is illegal." He said, "Yeah, I know." I told it to my wife. I said, "She said you better practice what you preach." I said, "Yep." Amen. Yep. But we can't think that we, well, what you want. We can have that approach when we come to Him. We depend upon Him. And that's what He's saying. You got to be like the young children. Have the faith that they have, because what? They're dependent upon us. And if you fail, and if I fail, that means we need somebody. They're gonna look to somewhere else. And this is why I thought my little demonstration, because I thought Brother Maynard, I thought for sure last Wednesday was going to be here, because I was going to see what Yeshua was doing. I wanted to just to do an illustration, because and taking them up in His arms, laying His hands on them, He blessed them. Wow. I was going to try to see if I can get Maynard's little girl to come to me so I can pick her up and bless her. And I really wonder what that blessing was. So I wonder what Yeshua said. You ever thought about that blessing? How about if we go to Bamidbar? For y'all who don't know, that's Numbers. Chapter 6. And got to make sure I got this right before I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Chapter 6, verse 22. I just wonder if Yeshua said this when He took the baby up in His arm and blessed him. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to Aharon." See how this stuff takes you all the way back. And his son, saying, "This is how you bless the children of Israel. Say to them, Yehovah bless you and guard you, and make His face shine upon you, and show favor to you. Yehovah lift up His face upon you, and give you peace. Then they shall put My name on the children of Israel, and I Myself shall bless them." Hallelujah. Huh? You think Yeshua was thinking about that verse of Scripture? I just wonder. When He said He took him up in His arm and He blessed him, what do you think He blessed him with? What do you think we should be blessing our children with? We don't pass on so many generation curses, because I heard all my life, from the body you never be nothing. You think I never heard that? Curse me when I was a kid. Because that was the motto. That was the saying. Oh, you're from the body, you never learn nothing, never amount to nothing. Heard that. That's why He said, don't be like your forefathers. Don't complain and gripe at them like they did at Meribah. Don't desire to go back to Egypt and Mishraim and desire all the stuff you had over there. Because look where He's trying to bring you. Oh boy. That was some good stuff. I don't know about y'all. When I was going through them slides and reading all that stuff, it blessed me. So I figured I'd just share it with y'all. Because why? Why He needs to bless him? Because the dragon was enraged with the woman. He wants to fight with the remnant of her seed. We're the remnant. We're right here at the Jordan. We're fixing the cross. But we got to know the rules when we go there. So I just read it. When you get over there, start tearing down all that junk. There's sometimes there's junk in our lives we got to tear down. We got to get rid of. The Greek word that is translated here as possessing comes from the root echo. Strong G, 2192. That was the easy one. Echo. It's so good I say it twice. Echo. Which means to have, hold, consider, obtain, possess, and express an active verb which can render the meaning to have hold in the hand in the sense of wearing. To have hold possession of the mind refers to alarm, agitating, emotion, etc. To hold fast, keep. To hold fast, keep, yep. That's what the enemy wants to do. We got to be clear of these echoes that we hear and these voices that we hear. Be careful. Because that's where it starts in the mind. Especially in the mind of our children, because there's so much pollution out there. It really is. You don't have to put on your TV. It's on your phone. The only thing you got to do is sit in conversation with people. I sit in the morning on the way driving out. Well, you'd be shocked, the stuff that you hear. But that's conversation. That's normal to some people. Something you don't want to have hold on, but the enemy desires that if we're not careful. That's what we just read. He wants to fight with the remnant of the seed. We're the remnant. In Acts 20:24, but I do not count my life of any value to me, so that I might accomplish my mission with joy and the service which I received from the Master Yeshua to bear witness to the good news of the favor of Elohim. Once you come into him, that's it. Your life is not your own. You have been bought with a price. That's what the scripture says. The stuff that you used to do, you turn away from. Because you're not your own. And he'll tell you about it. He'll remind you of that. Set up a spirit, or nudge you. And there's a cost of this, of discipleship, of following the master. It comes with a cost. Well, you say, I thought salvation was free. It is, but it comes with a cost. It costs you your time. It costs you your life. Because you say, well, what about free? Well, free, like they say on TV, free. You got to read the fine print. Not really as free like you think it is. And Yeshua makes mention of that in Luke 14. I'm not going to read it, but he talks about the cost of discipleship. He said, if a man wants to build a tower, if he's not going to count the cost, if he got enough money to finish it, or if he's just going to lay the foundation and he has no more money, then the people begin to mock him. He talks about that. So you got to count your cost before you just want to do stuff. Make sure when you get in, you not half in, you're all in. You have to be all in. Now you can't sit on the hat and straddle the fence, and you got one leg here, one leg here. This is no. Yeah, you see when you ride the fence like that, you might have stability this way, but you stability you don't have no stability this way. You're easily topped over. He said also about the cost of. He said what about a sovereign that goes out to fight? Doesn't he make sure he got enough men to go fight? Well, that's what we got to do. We got to make sure we got enough. That's why the reason for the census. Are you in? If you're in, say just say you're in. And if you're out, say you're out. All right, well, we like to say in the office, if you're scared, say you're scared. That. But we need able men on the front. We need somebody to do this. Because what did he call? He called you to teach. We should be teachers. Some of us, by now. And if you're not here, you should be outside these walls, that's for sure. Because he's called you to do that. You're commissioned to do that. You're commanded to do that. And where do you think he got his commands from? Just wondering. So this is what he's making reference to. You don't count it. Count his life. It's what it is. I'm commissioned to him now. Where he wants me to go, I'll go. What do you want me to say? I have to say. Jeremiah, do not be afraid of their faces. I take that to a brother. Don't worry about what their faces say. He said, I've called you for a job, for a mission, to plant and to uproot. Go back and read in Jeremiah. These are some of the words that Shaul spoke to the elders of Ephesus that he called to meet at Malthus on his way back to Jerusalem. So I had to go look that up and see where that was at. So I have it in my phone. This is a farewell speech to them. He made it clear that his life was all about the service unto the master. And no matter what he would face, he would bear the witness of the good news despite knowing that chains and pressures await him. Don't you think Shaul knew he was up against it? You think Peter didn't know he was up against it? You think Yeshua didn't know he was up against it? All these guys, they gave their lives for what? For us to come sit here and relax, fold our arms and, it's hot in here. Or later on it'll be, man, it's cold in here. That's what they gave their lives for? He said, quit complaining about that. Be happy. What do you mean? I got to cut the grass again? Yes. It don't cut itself. We don't have no goats out there yet. Yeah. Our building needs cleaning. Hey, you know what? You see that? You see that? Maybe I should probably say it or not say it, but it just popped in my mind. So, you know, I'm going to say it. You know what? Team Allen and Team Aleph and Tav should be team one. You know, we talk about individualism. Put them together as one. That's no individualism. Come together and clean. It's just what it is. Shouldn't be no, you got this team is your week and this is my week. It's all your week. Pastor don't get a break next week. Somebody else got it. We do it on Wednesday night. Could we take turn, me and Brother Chad? But you know, if I can't make it, he's got it. You commissioned. He has it. No matter what. And you know what? You know what I tell him? I said, brother, if I'm there, I got it. If I'm there next week, I got it again. And the week after, it doesn't matter to me. Because you know what? I enjoy doing it. I like it. You know what? We all got a job. It's no your team, my team. There's no teams. We're family. And that's what family does. They stick together and do the job together. And that's just what it is. It's a farewell speech. What would it be my farewell speech? Tomorrow I'm not here. What are you going to remember? Oh yeah, I remember that message. We just throw it and waste it away and act like it's nothing? God gave their lives for a reason. News, despite knowing that chains and pressures awaited him. These are the words of an overcomer and words of one who had counted the cost of following the master. You think he, trust me, he knew. Paul knew. He just got stoned in I think it was in Lystra. And him and, I don't remember who was with him, Barnabas or Silas, one of them with him. He said, we're going to turn around and go back. Go back? We just got stoned in the town. That didn't bother Paul. Paul said, we got to go back. How many of us would say that after being stoned? But that's what he did. And counting the cost. That's what it cost you your life. Let's just get it out. Let's just bring it on. That should be on the first page. What's the price? Your life. Because that's what you're devoted to. It's what you're married to. It's your priority one. These are the words of an overcomer and the words of one who had counted the cost of following the master and did not let the fleshlessness of selfishness hinder his goal and purpose of bearing the witness of Messiah. Well, you say that three times fast. Proper counting causes one to be an overcomer in Messiah. We got to count the cost. Look, it's not all peaches and cream. It ain't all going to be comfortable. It's not all going to be suitable. But you know what? If I'm in this spot, I'm commissioned to say, I got to say. Or you know what it'll do? It'll take a little. You know what when you got a spot somewhere? My wife is famous with bleach. When she got a spot, she just choop, choop, and you wiped away. Just like that. So, I mean, that's no problem to get rid of. Yehovah has no problem getting rid of a spot. There's no spots on his garments. And what he said, our garments need to be spotless. The word echo, Strong's 2192, is also used of those joined to any one by the bonds of natural blood or marriage or friendship or duty or law, etc. And can express the intensity of holding fast to or cling to something that is translated as possess in Yohanan, John 14:21. He who possesses my commands and guards them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I shall love him and manifest myself to him. See that right there? That's probably I can just close the books. And that was good enough for me if I got just that one scripture. But we have to love him. We got to love what he loves. We got to hate what he hates. We got to say what he says. No time for this. Because you're not on the front line. You're not going to fight very well if you're a little squirrely. Especially in this time, in this perverted generation. He said, you ashamed of me? He said, I'll be ashamed of you. In this wicked and perverse generation. My boy. The stuff they talk about on these boats, and that's all, these ears here, they bleed. So you think I need it? How much more do I need to guard the commands? How much more you think when I'm at work, you think, I do get my little nap too, don't get me wrong. But it's not all day napping, because I have to do what? I have to look into his glory. I have to look into his word. I have to look into his commands. And at the same time, be a light. At the same time, shine. Not be slack. He just told us, don't be slack. Let's not get weary in well-doing. For in due season, you're going to reap if you don't faint. But it's narrow. It's tight. It's okay. You can make it. And remember, you're not alone. That's still great about that. Well, when we understand this, it makes perfect sense that Yeshua is clearly saying, which is that to possess his commands means that we are to hold them fast. That is, that we are to guard them. And one cannot be guarding the command if one is not doing them. Wow. I had a text today, because I deal with family a lot. And I had a text today. Yesterday afternoon. And I was telling about one of my brothers. He said, well, I think I might even screenshot this to him. And he said, what command you think we're not keeping? And you think it's the Sabbath like you keep? Or it's not? I said, you think it's just the Sabbath? You really? I said, so I took my little Bible translation and I pulled up all these different translations, different scriptures. I said, let's just pick one subject. Let's go about the food laws. What about some of these food laws? I said, but then these you brought the Sabbath. I text him some of the Sabbath scriptures also. I said, how you explain this? Explain these things to me that we're commanded, but yet I'm following Jesus. That's what I got. That's my all my text messages, everything I said what the master said. And I said, if you need chapters and verses, I'll give them to you. I'm not telling you my words. I'm telling you what he said. And we should hold value to his word. Because it's not a worthless word. You know, they might see it as that. But you're still commissioned to say it, to give it to them. It gets a little rocky when you deal with family. But what are you going to do? You going to fear them? Or are you going to sit there and tell them the truth? At least when you stand before Yehovah, you're going to say that you told them the truth. One cannot be guarding the commands if one is not doing them. We have to obey. That's just point blank. I don't know how you get around it. Yeshua taught it, and he taught it well. And it's up to us to follow it well. Chapter 4. We might make that 6 next year. Depending on what day it falls on. If it falls on Shabbat, we might not get to that. Oh, man. And now, Yisrael, listen. This is a very urgent call to hear. And in one aspect, it could be rendered as, this time, listen up, Yisrael. Okay, this was all, we read all this. So I'm going to skip a few and try to finish reading because I'm running out of battery time, and I apologize, everybody. So we stopped on verse 14 of chapter 4 in Deuteronomy. Therefore, so I'm going to finish read it. Therefore, diligently guard yourselves. For you, verse 15, for you saw no form when Yehovah spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Lest you should do corruptly and should make for yourself a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Can we do that? No. Not even in the Brit Hadishah. Later on, you don't make no form, no image. But they still did it. So you think we can do away with the Torah? No. Because this was the command. And they said, well, we're not following, you're not under the law? You don't follow, we don't do the Torah? Really? You think Yah changed his mind when he said, don't do it? Do we really think it's okay later on? Well, he didn't really mean that. That's what the world thinks. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the heavens, the likeness of any creature that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the waters under the earth. I wonder why he named the specific animals, birds and fish. Because why? They were doing that back in Mitzrayim. So he's just reminding them, don't do these things. That was the reason for the blood on the doorpost. And least you lift up your eyes to the heavens and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, and you be drawn away into bowing down to them and serving them, which Jehovah your Elohim has allotted to all the peoples under all the heavens. But Jehovah has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace. I am so thankful he brought me out of the iron furnace. Because we were stuck and you couldn't get out. And without him, you don't make it out. What he said? He said, this night, a dog's not even going to bark. Because I'm going to make a distinction between what's mine and what's Egypt's. How awesome was that? Not even a dog's going to bark. And you know today, you go outside after dog, in the daytime, we got neighbors got a dog, he bark at anything. And don't put him in the truck, he never stop barking. Ain't that right, Pop? But Yahweh has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Mitzrayim, to be his people as an inheritance as it is today. Why? It's not because you were greatest in number, because you're the few, you were the least. But you obey, you hearken, you humble yourself. But you got to obey those that are leading you. Because they're why? They guard your life. Don't you see how these scriptures come into play? You can't get away from them. And Yahweh was enraged with me because of your words. Why? Because so much complaining and crying. Stop it. We're not these children. A child does that. It's time we grow up. He said, you're no longer on the milk. You're on the meat of the word. Which milk is good. I like a little milk. But I don't want it every day. And he swore that I would not pass over the Jordan. You know, I can see Moses being a little upset right there, but Yah had a plan. He couldn't see it, but Yehovah knew. That I would never enter the good land which Yehovah your Elohim is giving you as an inheritance. But we know one day he's going to be there. For I am about to die in this land. I am not passing over the Jordan, but you are passing over and shall possess that good land. Boy, I tell you, I couldn't imagine what it looked like. Just imagine the grapes and the figs and all these good-looking fruit of the land. But there were some things they had to do. They didn't just walk in there and just go get it and think it was just easy come. Why? Because there were giants in the land. There was things, but they had to do what? First thing, go there and tear down all that junk that they set up. We got to get rid of some of these stuff and get ready to possess the land. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. That's what he was telling them. I'm going to help you. The same thing he's telling us today. You're going to possess the land. He's going to help you. Guard yourselves. Well, I'll tell you what. If I got to, as many times I heard the word guard tonight, I'd probably be in my pocket to be jingling right now. I was getting paid for this. And Pastor Sean. Lest you forget the covenant of Yahweh your Elohim, which he made with you, and shall make for yourself a carved image in any form, as Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you. For Yehovah your Elohim is a consuming fire, a jealous El. When you bring forth children and grandchildren, then we cover them because we need them. I need them. I love them. All our children. And shall grow old in the land, and shall do corruptly and make a carved image in the form of whatever, and shall do what is evil in the eyes of Yehovah your Elohim to provoke him. We have to be careful. Some things we can't do. Even though you're in the land and anybody's warning them, and you get in the land, don't forget, guard, Shemar. Guard these words. Boy, chapter 5 and chapter 6 and 7. I love them. The book of Deuteronomy is so powerful. We can learn a lot from Deuteronomy. I shall call the heavens and the earth to witness against you on that day, and you shall soon completely perish from the land which you pass over the Jordan to possess. You do not prolong your days in it, but are completely destroyed. You think Yah loves his land? He can't pollute it. And Yehovah shall scatter you among the peoples, and you shall be left few in number among the nation where Yehovah drives you. And there you shall serve mighty ones, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. I remember that, I think it's in the book of Jasher, when it talks about Abraham, when Abraham was a little kid, and his dad is an idol worshiper. He tells his mom, bring me some food. His mom's making me food. He sits in front of his dad's idol. His dad's not there. And he sits there and he waits for him to eat. And then why he breaks them all. His dad's all mad. He wants to destroy Abraham. He said, well, I gave it to them for them to eat. They don't want to eat. They don't want to talk or do nothing. So get rid of them. What good were they? In the book of Jasher. But it's real funny when you read the story. But it makes sense, though. Get rid of them. Because what he told will be ready. When you cross the land, break all these asherims and all this junk. What he told Gideon, go tear down that stuff. But from there you shall seek Yehovah your Elohim, and shall find when you search for him with all your heart and with all your being. In your distress, when all these words shall come upon you in the latter days, then you shall return to Yehovah your Elohim and shall obey his voice. For Yehovah your Elohim is compassionate, El. Is a compassionate El. He does not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your father which he swore to them. They don't get the covenant that he swore to who? What father? To Abraham, to Isaac, to Yaakov, our forefathers. That's been passed on, and that promise still stands today. You think he broke his promise? Think he forgot about it? For ask now of the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that Elohim created man on the earth, and ask from one end of the heavens to the other ends of the heavens, where there has been a word as great as this, or there has been heard like it. This is a so powerful word that he's speaking to them. Tell me anything greater than this, what he's done for us. He didn't have to pull me out of the muck and the mire. He could have left me there. And I probably, and no doubt wouldn't be here today. He could have left me there. But he saw you for a reason, for a purpose. Because you were there. I saw you in the pig pen with me too. You were one of them pigs. But he pulled us out of that. And he cleanses you. He washes you out. He makes you clean. And he welcomes you back. And he says, here, same rules, same instructions. Guard them, because they are your life. Have a people heard the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard and live? He talked about a farewell speech for Moshe. He's giving it to him. Or has Elohim tried to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of a nation by trials and by signs and by wonders and by battle and by a strong hand and outstretched arm and by great fearsome deeds according to all that Yehovah your Elohim did for you in Mitzrayim before your eyes? Wow. I would love to go back in time and just see that all these things happen. That no, you can't. But when you read these stories, my mind takes me back and I start drifting. And I start thinking about that, boy, and I couldn't you imagine the signs and the wonder. They've seen all this, and they witnessed it. And here we are today. We might have never seen it, but we have a witness that we can trust in, that we can believe in, and we know that's happened. That's proof, that's evidence. You have been shown it to know that Yehovah himself is Elohim and there's no one beside him. And imagine parting the Red Sea and all these great mighty things that he done. And he tells the people in chapter 5, because we ain't getting there, y'all get ready. Get ready. I'm coming. 3 days. Go prepare yourself. And I'm coming down. And with the people, weak hand, weak knees. I probably would have been too. What he said? But Moshe, you come here. Because there's more. There's more. I got that. Don't speak to us no more. We dying. They were so afraid. He said, but Moshe, don't worry. I just gave you the 10 words here that they heard. But there's more. That's more than just, don't stop at just the 10. And think we're finished. And that's all we have. There's more. There is no one besides him. From the heavens, he let you hear his voice to instruct you. And on earth, he showed you his great fire. And you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their seed. You are chosen. I wonder what seed are you talking about? We're here, those who are here today. After them and brought you out of Mizraim with his presence, with his great power, to drive out from before you nations greater and stronger than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance as it is today. And you shall know today and shall recall to your heart that Yehovah himself is Elohim in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. There is none else. And you shall guard his laws and his commands, which I command you today, so that it is well with you and with your children after you. So that you prolong your days on the soil which Jehovah your Elohim is given for you for all time. Hallelujah. To your children. These promises are made. To my children. We're not here today. But I'm not counting them out. To your children. Some of us have lost children. Lost loved ones. You don't count them out. You stand in the gap. But if you squirrely, what happens to them? There's a scripture that comes to mind. If the righteous are scarcely, how it goes, forsaken. I know I'm not quoting it right. If the righteous are scarcely, yeah, right. Where would the ungodly? Where are they going to appear? If you squirrely, that's not in my note. That was Lynn Yap. I think we're done, huh? 1 minute. Oh man, that's so much. That's some more. I can't. We're out of time. Hey, no. At one time, we couldn't even speak an hour. Now we need another CD. I'm getting like somebody popping another one. Cause I said, look, we ain't finished chapter 4 yet. We still got 3, 4, 5 more slides to go. But look, take your time to go home and finish read that. Hey. Guard yourselves. Be on guard. Because it is our life. We need it. It's not only for us, it's for our children. Amen. There's more, but I'm out of time and I'm out 5% of battery power. So, made it, Pastor. I was a little squirrely about it. Oh, man. Well, let's remember Shabbat, Friday night. Saturday morning, let's come expecting. You don't deposit in the bank, you don't get nothing out. You ain't got no account, you ain't getting nothing out. The same thing here. We gotta do our part. So remember those who are here tonight, and let's be in prayer for one another. You know, our family up Indiana and all over the world. We got family all over the world. Let's be in prayer for our families, for our church, for our community, for our leaders.